Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we get ready for a big series between the Royals and Jays. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, Stump the Chumps, your chance to win some great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We'll also get you the things you need to know. But let's talk about these Toronto Blue Jays as they're going through a similar revival that the Kansas City Royals are. Our buddy Mike Wilner from the Fan 590 and Jays Radio joins us here on our Sprint guest line. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Not bad. And the Jays and Royals were kind of the story. Two stinkers coming out of the gates. Two clubs that had high expectations, high aspirations, but got off to a slow start. Royals have got it going in the right direction. So have the Jays. Health would seem to be, the Jays had a lot more excuses, legitimate excuses, or maybe reasons, I guess I should say. Excuses makes it sound like a negative. Because of all the injuries, the Royals just were playing bad. How have the Jays, is it just as simple as that? Health, they got a little bit healthy and they started playing better?
Well, not really, actually. I mean, the thing is, the Jays started the season 2-11. And for the most part, we're healthy through that part of the season. They didn't start to get hurt until they were losing a bunch of games. And then they started to play better without Josh Donaldson, without Troy Tulowitzki, J-Hap, Aaron Sanchez. For a while there, Russell Martin. And the backups managed to do a lot more than tread water till the regulars came back. Now most of the regulars are back, and they're sort of sputtering again. It's been a very weird year for the Jays. They were 8-17 in April. They were 18-10 in May. Now they're 9-10 in June. And really, like losing every other game, basically, in the month of June. And they've had this battle with the 500 mark. They've been one game under 500 nine times, seven times in June, nine times this season. And in those games, when they're a game under 500, they're 0-9, and they've been outscored, make sure I get this right, they've been outscored 73-24.
Yeah, not good. No. When you're being tripled up overall by your opposition, maybe that's a mental block. Maybe they press in those games because they're like, hey, let's finally get over that 500 hump. The Royals have just finally gotten connected, so we'll see how they do as they get a chance to get beyond 500. They've been there once and lag back, and this will be the second time when they go tonight against the Jays. So we'll see if that is just a mental hurdle. I mean, something's got to give here, right? I suppose the Jays could take 2 out of 3 in this series, and they would be 1 under .500, and that would keep both clubs away from that mark. The starting pitching, the numbers say not good, and we know Aaron Sanchez's injury has affected that as well. But is there any sign that the starting pitching is coming around, or no? Is that the single biggest problem that they've still got?
No, I mean, I would suggest, yeah, that is the biggest problem they've got. They just played a series in Texas, and they split four games. But in the series, they had one starting pitcher go five innings. For the four games, the starters gave up 4, 5, 6, and 7 runs. So, this is what was the best starting rotation in baseball, in the American League last year, and by quite a bit, by almost half a run over the Indians, who were next. And it just has not been good this year. Marcus Stroman has been fine, though he blew up real good yesterday, and he's given up 3 homers in each of his last 2 starts. Marco Estrada, who has been so good for the Jays since he got here in 2015, has been absolutely confounding. I think his ERA over his last 8 starts is well over 6, and he has just been really not good since the middle of May. Aaron Sanchez has been on the DL 3 different times. J-Hap, 20 games last year, was on the DL, missed 2 months. And his last two starts, he started to look a little bit more like himself. So he's starting tonight. Hopefully for the Blue Jays, he can make it three in a row where he's looking like his dependable old self. And I know the Royals have a hard time hitting left-handed pitching. Joe Biagini has stepped in from the bullpen to the rotation to help out while Sanchez has been gone and has done an okay job. He was really good for a while there, but he got lit up last weekend and gave up seven runs and only got three outs. But he was the one Blue Jay who pitched into the sixth inning in this Texas series, but he still gave up four runs. So it's been an issue, and Francisco Liriano has been very up and down and also spent a month on the DL. So starting pitching has been a problem, and it was completely unexpected because going into the season, you thought that was the Blue Jays' biggest strength.
You mentioned, last year, 20-4 for Hap. That was just a phenomenal season. I know all fantasy players would be like, wow, that was a bonus because nobody saw that kind of win total coming. And wins are a fickle category. A lot of it's out of the control of the starting pitcher. But, he was really good through almost 200 innings. And this year, it's not that the guy's been awful. I mean, the periphery numbers say he's been pretty good. 44 Ks, 7 walks and 38 innings, 39 hits. That's a little higher than the total he was hanging last year. That's the difference is he's been hit a little bit more. The strikeout-to-walk ratio is better this year than it was last year. Is he too much around the strike zone? Is that his problem?
No, I think that the issue, honestly, was the injury. I mean, his first two starts of the year were okay. He didn't walk anybody, and then he got hurt in his third start, and then he was gone, and they brought him back maybe a little early so that his first two starts coming off the DL were sort of rehab starts, and he got knocked around a bit. But the truth of the matter is, the Blue Jays had fit in guys like Matt Latos and Mike Bolsinger and Casey Lawrence to take these starts while Hap and Sanchez were on the DL and Liriano for a while too. I mean, at one point, the Blue Jays had 60% of their starting rotation on the disabled list. So the fill-ins they were using had an ERA, I think the lowest ERA of the three of them was 5.60. So they figured, we might as well bring Hap back, and even if he can only throw 60 pitches, he's going to give us more than what these other guys are giving us. So those were the two poor starts right off the DL, and since then he's had two really good ones. So he's been good when he's been healthy, and I think the bumps in the numbers is a result of those two starts where he still should have been rehabbing, but he was up in 2 weeks.
We're talking right now with Mike Wilner from the Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as the Jays radio broadcast there. Offensively, Justin Smoak has been a guy that's really bailed him out. We'll talk about Kendrys Morales in a minute as well. He's had solid numbers, but Smoak's been there for a couple of years, but now already equaled his career high in home runs in a single season with about 250 less plate appearances than when he had 20 before. And this is a guy who comes with a good pedigree. I mean, I remember the discussions about whether or not the Royals should have taken Justin Smoak instead of Eric Hosmer. Now at 30 years old, 20 home runs in 268 plate appearances. He's always had some pop. He's never been able to consistently, hit the baseball. And the .303 batting average is way above his career .230 batting average. What clicked for him at age 30?
I don't know. I mean, he says that he's just gotten out of his own head. And he's, much more clear mentally. He's working counts better. Although he was always a guy who walked and got deep in counts, but he's not striking out as much. He's sticking to a plan. And I think that's the key thing. I'm still, you guys are in Missouri, so right? You can't just show me for 2 months. It's got to be a little bit longer than that. So I'm wondering how long Justin Smoak's going to be able to keep this up, or is he an entirely new guy? But so far so good, and the strikeouts are way down. He's always had monster pop on a team even that had Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista and Josh Donaldson. He's got the most raw power on the team, and he hits some incredible home runs. He's hit some, he's hit some laser beams that have gotten out sort of wall scrapery too, but hit really, really hard. The thing about Justin Smoke, and one of the reasons why the Blue Jays liked him so much, even after one mediocre and one very poor season with the Jays, was that hard hit contact rate. He hits the ball as hard or harder than almost anybody in the major leagues. The problem was he wasn't making enough contact. He struck out all the time last year, and last year was especially tough because he wound up on the bench, but he only got one hit in September, and his August was terrible, and he was taken off the playoff roster. And this year it's just been such a huge change, and that right-handed swing of his has been incredible. And I don't think baseball's caught up to it yet, because the last couple of series the Blue Jays have played, you still see managers coming in, bringing in left-handed relievers to turn him around, and Kendrys Morales for some reason. And they're both swinging way, way better right-handed this year. But for Smoke, I really do think it's just a matter of having a plan and sticking to it, and not panicking when you get behind in the count.
Tell me about the reaction to Jose Bautista batting in the leadoff.
I think that's what a lot of people wanted for a long time. Jose Bautista is a great on-base guy. This year, in the overall, it's not great. I think it's around 340. But, he's a guy who, when he's on, when he's doing well, you can count on the on-base to be at 360, 370. And they did the same thing last year when they were having trouble hitting. A group of hitters went into John Gibbons' office and said, look, this is what we think the lineup should look like. Jose Bautista fits in the leadoff spot, and you build from there. This year, Kevin Pillar was installed as the leadoff man at the beginning of the season and got off to a fantastic start. He and Justin Smoke were their only good hitters in the month of April. Donaldson, too, but Donaldson only played 9 games before he got hurt. But Pillar had gone into an incredible slump it was just awful. He was 13 for 99 out of the leadoff spot and doesn't walk. So he wasn't helping that way. He wasn't getting on base at all. And so the other day, John Gibbons finally decided to change the lineup up. He'd been hesitant. He's very stubborn that way. He wants to let guys work out of their issues. But Pillar really had no track record as a leadoff man, and so he stuck with him probably a lot longer than he should have. If Devin Travis was healthy, he's a guy who would have fit well at the top of that lineup, but he may be out for the season. So they moved Bautista up there, Russell Martin hitting in the 2 spot. They moved Smoke to cleanup and Kendrys down to the 5 spot. And the first time they tried it, they scored 6 runs in the first inning. So far, so good. But I think that the Blue Jays fans in general had enough of Pillar leading off. And given his ability to draw walks, Jose Bautista is the next best thing.
All right, Kendrys Morales, how has he fit into the team? We know what he did with the Royals. What's he? What's his presence like there with the Jays?
Well, they love him. Everyone raves about him and talks about the level of professional he is and what a great teammate he is. He really hasn't hit as I expected anyway. I thought, going to a hitter's ballpark for the first time in his career, he would flourish. And he has hit a bunch of home runs. He has 15 homers. And so many of them have come in big spots. I think 10 or 11 have either tied the game or given the Jays the lead. He's hit a couple of homers in the bottom of the ninth, which has been very cool. But the batting average really isn't there. The on-base percentage isn't as high as as I thought it would be. He's leading the league in grounding into double plays. But I think in the overall, he's definitely helped them more than he's hurt them.
We're talking to Mike Wilner from the Fan 590 in Toronto, Jays Radio as well. Time for our final four. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Their Bass Pro Shop instant tickets are where you can win up to 25 grand instantly and are online. The Kansas Lottery Play On Player Loyalty Club, where you can win an additional 25 grand in Bass Pro Shop gift cards. Mike, I'll start you with this one. Parlez-vous français?
A very little bit. Or as they say, un petit peu.
Yeah, okay. I like that. That's good. Of course, you know, Toronto, not nearly the French-speaking part of Canada that Montreal is. But, you know, no. 3.5 years of high school French, I want to lay something out there when I get a chance. So thank you for playing along.
No problem. I have 2 years of high school French, so there you go.
Good. When do the Jays get a new stadium? What year?
Not for a while, I don't think. Rogers Center is—it's not even 30 years old. It was a technological marvel at the time, and unfortunately, it was, you know, the last of the non-old-timey looking stadium, because it opened in '89, and I think 3 years later, Camden Yards opened, and everyone thought, "Whoa, this is, you know, this is what we got to start doing again." And so all the new places look really, really baseball-y, and Rogers Center doesn't. But it's in a great spot. It works fine. It's not falling apart, and they're about to put $300 or $400 million into it. So I think it's sticking around for a long time.
Yeah, that's a significant renovation. So that'll be interesting. All right, who wins the AL East?
Oh God, I don't know. It's what, 5.5, 6 games from top to bottom. I would suggest it could be any of the Yankees, Red Sox, or Blue Jays. I would think that the Red Sox probably would be the favorite at this point. But really, it's completely wide open.
Okay, and who do Jays fans hate more, Yankees or Red Sox?
Rougned Odor.
Good answer. I like that.
I'm gonna
take that one. Rougned Odor. Nice. And of course, if people don't catch that reference, he is the one that took the big right-handed swing to the jaw of Jose Bautista. So interesting. Good stuff. Mike, always great talking to you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thanks.